Hello, this is Tom Scott with the news from Ford County for the week of September 20th, 2020. We begin with the updates from the public health departments. First, from the Ford County Public Health Department, and this is dated September 23rd, 2020. There have been 143 total cases, and that is an increase of 13 since our last reading. 126 have been released from isolation, 12 are currently in home isolation. And there have been 5 deaths, which is again an increase of 1. Among the cases, 59% are female and 41% are male. There have been 4,754 tests administered in Ford County. And from the Iroquois County Public Health Department, there have been a total of 396 cases, which again is an increase of 15 from our last reading. 355 are confirmed cases. 41 are probable cases, 356 have been released, 20 are in home isolation, 1 is hospitalized, and there are 19 deceased. The breakdown of the cases, female 55.3%, male 44.7%. There have been 11,276 tests administered in Iroquois County, 10,880 of negative, 355 tests positive, and 41 probable positive results. Then a breakdown, that is a negative rate of 96.5% and a positive rate of 3.1%. Now we'll turn to the news in the Ford County Record, and we begin with a story entitled Ford County Public Health Department to offer drive-through flu clinics. The Ford County Public Health Department will be offering drive-through flu clinics this year. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Illinois Department of Public Health are strongly advising vaccinations for everyone 6 months of age or older. The following drive-through clinics have been scheduled in Piper City and Gibson City on October 6th from 9 to 11 a.m. at the Piper City Rehab and Living Center in 600 Maple Street, Piper City, and October 8th, 1 to 3 p.m. at the American Evangelical Lutheran Church in 905 East First Street in Gibson City. Drive-up and in-office appointments are being scheduled at the Ford County Public Health Department in Paxton by calling 217-379-9281. Additional clinic days will be added and released when secured. It is requested that those attending a clinic wear a shirt or blouse that provides easy access to the vaccination site. Persons on Medicare, Health Alliance, Humana, Coventry, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Medicaid, United Insurance, Aetna, Cigna, or a state employee are required to present their card at the time of vaccination. Individuals not covered by the above insurance companies may pay $30 for their vaccination. Please call the office prior to a flu clinic or an appointment to check the status of your coverage if your insurance was not listed above. Children up to 18 years old that have Medicaid should call to schedule an appointment. Please contact the Ford County Public Health Department with questions, concerns, or to schedule an appointment at 217-379-9281. And from Iroquois County Christmas Cantata canceled. This is the time of year when co-directors Denise Wall, Eric Parmenter, and Jessica Phelan would be organizing the December's Iroquois County Christmas Cantata. However, after much contemplation and discussion, the group has decided to cancel this year's performances. The 2020 Cantata would have been the 45th presentation of the Christmas program, for which the choir is made up of singers from throughout Iroquois County. The group would generally present 5 performances, which also feature a children's choir. Now a story from the Ford County Clerk. Frederick offers statement on vote-by-mail letters. Ford County Clerk and Recorder Amy Frederick provided the following statement on vote-by-mail letters that were recently sent by the Secretary of State's office to voters. Over the past few days, many Ford County voters have received a letter from Secretary of State Jesse White's office alerting them that they have not applied for a vote-by-mail ballot and they should contact my office to complete their application. These letters have been sent to voters throughout Illinois from the Secretary of State's office. The letters were part of the mandate of SB 1863, The election bill passed by the state legislature in May as a response to the COVID-19 pandemic. It requires election authorities, such as the Ford County Clerk and Recorder, to send a mail ballot application to every voter who has voted in any of the past three elections. The law also stipulates that the Secretary of State shall send by September 15, 2020, a notice to any voter in Illinois who received an application for a mail ballot, but according to the State Board of Election records, has not yet applied for a mail ballot. However, the notices do not accurately reflect the current status of vote-by-mail applications my office has received from the Ford County voters. Many voters who have applied for mail ballots, as well as voters who have no interest in voting by mail, receive these letters. I assure those who have applied for vote-by-mail ballots that my office has been processing your application, and vote-by-mail ballots will be sent to Ford County voters who have requested them beginning September 24th, and should start arriving in homes in the following weeks. And to those voters who do not want to vote by mail, I assure you that this is not part of my effort to pressure anyone into voting by mail. In-person early voting and election day polling places will be available, as always, to any voter who prefers to utilize these options. Next, the latest on the wind farm controversy. Ford County Boards hears concerns over wind farm. Since the COVID-19 pandemic shutdowns began 6 months ago, there has been very little talk at Ford County Board meetings about amending the wind farm ordinance, and practically no members of the public have appeared before the board. That changed last week when Don Meyer of Sibley spoke to the board about his concerns about the wind farm near Sibley that Apex plans to build. Six others attended as well. Meyer said he has tried unsuccessfully to obtain clarifications from the company where the turbines have been sited. He did receive an incomplete site plan from County Engineer Greg Perkinson. "We're trying to figure out what the hell this all means," said Meyer. Though the 80 acres he owns is not in the site plan, Meyer is concerned for the village itself. "We want the security that they won't be in our backyard and that the residents of Sibley won't have to look at them all for the rest of time." Meyer said he spoke to the mayor of Chenoa, and the town is supposed to receive some compensation from the company for the presence of the nearby towers. Meyer has also looked at the agreement between the town of Franklin and Apex. Meyer said he thought Apex would have a firmer plan at this point in time. "We want to be forewarned before they get a construction permit," he said. Board member Tim Nuss promised Meyer just that and transparency. "Anything we know, you'll know," said Nuss. The county placed a moratorium on the construction of new wind farms 3 years ago, and since then have been working on amending its ordinance. However, Apex is permitted to construct its farm of 42 turbines because it purchased the project 11 years ago from the previous company which held the permit. Representatives of Apex have attended meetings discussing the amendments. They have been interested in increasing the size of their project and the size of the turbines to be installed. Also, the board grudgingly approved amending the holiday schedule for courthouse employees for the 2019-2020 fiscal year to include the addition of November 3rd, Election Day, as a paid holiday. Board members grumble that the holiday will cost the county money to pay holiday pay for the clerk's office employees who must run the election and all personnel at the jail and deputies who must work anyway. The Illinois Municipal League has filed a suit in Sangamon County on behalf of several towns against the Illinois State Elections Boards, seeking a judicial interpretation as to whether the new holiday applies to municipalities. Also, the board accepted the low bid of $188,475 from Toby's Construction in Hersher to install a box culvert in Pella Township. After a lengthy discussion, the board voted that Microsoft Office 365 will be installed in all offices and for all employees, enabling all mail to be moved from the local server into the cloud. Department heads, however, must pay for that out of their budgets, even though no one could say what that cost would be. Nuss suggested a meeting be held in a large place like Robert's Gym so that employees could attend and representatives of several companies could present their ideas and costs for updating more of the county software. The IT committee will meet September 23rd at 5:30 p.m. in the Sheriff's Boardroom, where the MCS Office Technologies of Gibson City will discuss Microsoft Office Suite 365. Also at the board meeting, the board approved a mutual aid agreement with the Hoopston Emergency Management Agency and approved the reappointment of Jonathan Powers and Joel Hastings to the Ford County Board of Review. Their new terms will expire June 1, 2022. They approved the salary of public defender at $124,743, retroactive to July 1st. 67% of the salary will be paid by the state, if that is 90% of what the state's attorney receives, and it is. They approved the appointments of 12 drainage district commissioners: Doug Newald of rural Loda, Jason Stuckey of rural Piper City, Jeff Reeby of rural Thawville, Roland Bork of rural Piper City, Byron Cole of rural Roberts, Steve Meenan of rural Melbourne, Dean Swan of rural Paxton, Ronald Ahrens of rural Melbourne, Randy Kissinger of rural Buckley, Mark Weber of rural Chatsworth, and Roger M. Reed of rural Piper City. Also, the board discussed a recommendation from the board's personnel committee that all elected officials and department heads use the same timekeeping template for all non-salaried timekeeping. That committee will meet September 23rd in the Sheriff's Boardroom. And from PBL High School, PBL students help promote National Farm Safety Week. National Farm Safety Week is September 21st to 25th. This year's theme is Every Farmer Counts, to appreciate America's farmers and ranchers who have gone through many challenges in the past few years, yet persevered in order to provide food and natural resources, according to the news release. The theme is to advertise prioritizing farmers' health and safety. Daily themes this week include Monday, tractor and roadway safety; Tuesday, overall farmer health; Wednesday, safety and health for youth in agriculture; Thursday, emergency preparedness in agriculture; and Friday, safety and health for women in agriculture. To help spread the word of National Farm Safety Week, PBL recorded Farm Safety Week messages for radio and collaborated with the Ludlow Co-op in Paxton to hang a banner for the community members to view. Also from Gibson City, recycling passes available starting October 3rd. It's time to buy recycling passes for the new recycling year starting November 1st. Passes will be available to purchase starting October 3rd. The passes can be purchased at the recycling depot located behind Gibson City Hall when you bring recyclables, or from the Moyer District Library. The passes cost the same as the previous years: $20 for residents of Gibson City that pay city taxes, $15 for resident seniors 62 and older, $25 for non-residents, and $20 for a non-resident senior 62 and older. The recycling collection is on the first and third Saturday of each month from 8 to 11:30 a.m. When you purchase a pass, you will also get a sheet outlining what materials are acceptable and which cannot be taken at this time. There is a slight change to acceptable plastics, as the recycler is no longer able to accept plastics number 6 or number 7. Please check the recycling symbol on your container to be sure it is a number 1 to 5. As always, it really helps to flatten down the cardboard and plastic as much as possible. Last year, they collected about 78 tons of recyclables, up 3.4% from the previous years. So space continues to be a big problem. Unfortunately, they also collected 1,300 pounds of non-recyclables, so please check the sheet to be sure what you can bring can actually be recycled. For more information, contact Karen Cummerow at 217-784-5919. Our next story is entitled, School Districts Look to Promote Positive Mental Health Among Students. As school districts return to the classroom, assessing students for social and emotional needs has been a key part of the conversation. In preparation for reopening, local districts have taken various approaches to the challenges of promoting positive mental health among students. The Gibson City Melbourne School District has added a social worker, going from 2 on staff to 3. We knew the need for social-emotional support was growing, Superintendent Jeremy Darnell said. That was a high priority for our district. This fall, the district chose to have in-person classes 4 days each week in recognition of the need for social and emotional well-being. The district received a donation of 1,000 colorful character-bearing cloth face masks that social workers can give to students to increase their comfort in wearing the coverings. The designs are fun and exciting, Darnell said. The district is using social media to encourage photos, videos, documents, tips, and infographics with families. For example, a Falcon flyer highlighted the fact that local schools had to close for 5 weeks in 1918 during the Spanish flu influenza pandemic and for a short time in 1938 because of scarlet fever. Events such as those are a reflection of the grit and camaraderie which define our community, the newsletter read. Schools may close and seasons may change, but the community perseveres and continues to serve families and keeping all children safe. The GCMS School District is also profiling new staff members and streaming live webinars with updates and addressing questions about returning to learning. The first such webinar had over 600 views, Darnell noted. Our community was definitely engaging. Paxton Buckley Loda High School Junior High School and Junior High School social worker Christine Schuler and Clara Peterson social workers Aaron Graham and Jetty Grove agreed that creating a positive social and emotional climate promotes student achievement, lifelong character development, pro-social emotional regulation skills, and the ability to understand social situations and cues. As the Paxton Buckley Loda School District prepared for this school year, administration across the district emphasized the importance of building relationship early with students and surveyed parents to assess the social and emotional needs of students. The primary focus during the first days of school has been building relationships. In addition, social and emotional support school staff, school social workers, and guidance counselors have been checking in with students and staff. In kindergarten through eighth grade, social-emotional lessons are taught in all classrooms. At the high school level, students and staff are participating in Check and Connects, a program that engages marginalized students. The social workers say the students in their district have experienced many of the same stressors as all students have experienced, the loss and thus grief. Many of the students have been isolated from their social groups and are unable to participate in their usual activities. There has been food insecurity in some homes and financial stressors. Having reliable internet in a rural district can also be a stressor. Prior to the start of the school year, the school district surveyed parents to identify any stressors or trauma that students experience. Staff used that information to drive how they supported students as they returned to school. The district is continuously seeking feedback from parents, students, and staff through district surveys, social media, and the district app. That information is used to drive improvements even prior to the pandemic. Administration had an open-door policy in which parents, students, and staff were encouraged to provide feedback and suggestions for improvements. Some students worry about being sick. The social workers say it's difficult to plan for an unknown future when it is not known when and if things will ever be normal again. The district continues to try to meet each student's individual needs, but now is trying to do it within the safety parameters outlined in conjunction with the local public health department. Staff members are mindful of social distancing, wearing masks, cleaning between students, and frequently washing hands. The social workers are continuing to make sure families are aware of local resources and how to access them. The district relies on parents, teachers, administrators, and other staff members to refer students for social services. If families' needs are beyond the scope of school resources, then the district makes referrals for families to outside agencies. Within the school district, there are many community-supported resources, including a backpack food program, school supplies, winter coats, and clothing, and the district also provides information to families about local resources and support. The social workers also refer families to two local mental health service agencies, Community Resources and Counseling Center, and Gibson Behavior and Wellness. Now we'll turn to the obituaries for Ford County for the week of September 20th, 2020. Gerald Eugene Dickey, Champaign. Gerald Eugene Jerry Dickey, 87, of Champaign, died at 10:38 a.m. Tuesday, September 15th at the OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. A private burial will be held at Glen Cemetery in Paxton with military honors by the Paxton American Legion Prairie Post 150. Memorials may be made to the Paxton First United Methodist Church. Dennis B. Krabari, Buckley. Dennis B. Krabari, 67, of Buckley, died at 10:24 a.m. Saturday, September 19, 2020, at St. Mary's Hospital in Kankakee. A mass of Christian burial was held Wednesday, September 23rd, at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Lota, with Father Dong Van Bui officiating. Burial followed in Pine Ridge Cemetery in Lota. Memorial contributions may be made to his family. Wilma O. Reiners, and that is spelled R-E-I-N-E-R-S, Gibson City. Wilma O. Reiners, 93, of Gibson City, passed peacefully away Sunday, September 20th, 2020, with her loving children at her side. Funeral services were held at 11 a.m. Friday, September 25th, 2020, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, with Pastor Gary Fairchild officiating. Burial will be at the Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorial tributes may be made to the Gibson City United Methodist Church, the Gibson Area Hospital, or Carl Hospice. Clyde E. Coakley, Gibson City. Clyde E. Coakley III, 62, of Gibson City, peacefully passed away at 5:21 a.m. on Sunday, September 20th, 2020, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were held at noon on Thursday, September 24th, 2020, at Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Burial followed in Drummer Township Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be made to the New Beginnings Fellowship Church or to the Sons of the American Legion in Gibson City. Winifred Eleanor Horsch, Gibson City. Winifred Eleanor Horsch, 90, of Gibson City, formerly of the Fisher and Foosland area, peacefully passed away at 6:10 a.m. Monday, September 21st, 2020, at the Gibson Area Hospital Annex. Private family funeral services will be held at the Dewey Community Church in Dewey, with Pastor Neil Hauser officiating. Burial will be in the East Bend Memorial Gardens in rural Fisher. Memorial contributions may be made to the Dewey Community Church, Fisher Foursquare Church, or the Gibson City Bible Church. Evelyn L. Overacker. Evelyn L. Overacker, 96, of Watseka, passed away on Tuesday, September 15, 2020, at the Iroquois Resident Home in Watseka. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. at the funeral service on Saturday, September 26th, at the Knapp Funeral Home in Watseka. Pastor Kara Berg will officiate. Burial will follow in Oak Hill Cemetery in Watseka. Memorials may be made to the First United Methodist Church in Watseka or to the donor's choice. Margaret L. Callahan. Margaret L. Callahan, 90, of Watseka, passed away on September 15, 2020, in Watseka. Graveside services will be at 2 p.m. on Saturday, September 19, 2020, at Sugar Creek Cemetery in Stockland. Memorials may be made to the Shriners Hospitals. Betty J. Margray. Betty J. Margray, 93, of Danville, formerly of Sisna Park, passed away on Wednesday, September 16, 2020, at Colonial Manor in Danville. Cremation rites have been accorded by Knapp Funeral Home. Graveside services were held Monday, September 21st, at the Onarga Cemetery in Onarga. Memorials may be made to the American Diabetes Association or to an organization of the donor's choice. Betty Jane B.J. Jesse. Betty Jane B.J. Jesse, 73, of Sisna Park, passed away on Wednesday, September 16th, 2020, at the Iroquois Memorial Hospital in Watseka. Graveside services were held at 1 p.m. on Tuesday, September 22nd, at Woodland Mowiqua Township Cemetery in Mowiqua. Memorials may be made to the Cisna Park Fire Department or an organization of the donor's choice. June L. Hornback Brown. June L. Hornback Brown, 62, of Charleston, passed away on Thursday, September 17, 2020, at the Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were held Monday, September 21st, at the Onarga Cemetery, with the Reverend Brent Zastro officiating. Mary Grace Shapland. Mary Grace Shapland, 88, of Dwight, Illinois, passed away at Heritage Health in Dwight on Thursday, September 17, 2020. Graveside services were held Tuesday, September 22nd at Oaklawn Cemetery in Dwight, and Pastor Grant Spence officiated. Dorothy M. German. Dorothy M. German, 87, of Milford, passed on Thursday, September 17, 2020, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were held Sunday, September 20th at Knapp Funeral Home in Milford, with Reverend Jean Turner officiating. Burial followed at Maple Grove Cemetery in Milford. Elda Louise Ruckrigel, and that is spelled Ruckrigel. Edna Louise Kaufman Ruckrigel went to be with the Lord on September 18, 2020. A service honoring the life of Edna Kaufman Ruckrigel was held Tuesday morning, September 22nd, at the Vienna First United Methodist Church in Vienna, with the pastor Timothy Gossett officiating. A graveside service was held on Wednesday morning at the Cisna Park Cemetery. Those memorials may be made to the Vienna First United Methodist Church or the Christian Bible Church in Cisna Park, Illinois. Gerald L. Bonner, and that's spelled B-O-H-N-E-R. Gerald L. Bonner, 79, of Watseka, passed away on Friday, September 18, 2020, at his residence. Private graveside services will be held at Sugar Creek Cemetery in Stockland. Memorials may be made to the Centennial Christian Church or to the Iroquois Memorial Hospice. John Russell, Jack Davenport. John Russell, Jack Davenport, age 91, of Sheldon, passed away on September 19, 2020. Funeral services were held on Thursday, September 24th at the Knapp Funeral Home in Watseka, with Father Michael Powell officiating. Burial will immediately follow the service at Sheldon Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Sheldon Fire Department. Mary M. Elliott. Mary M. Elliott, 96, of Chevenix, passed away on Saturday, September 19th at Merkel Niprath Nursing Home in Clifton. Funeral services were held on Wednesday, September 23rd at Saints Mary and Joseph Catholic Church in Chevenix. Burial followed at St. Mary's and Joseph Cemetery in Chevenix. Memorials may be made to church masses, the Otto Township Fire Department, or Uplift Care Hospice of Kankakee Valley. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the news from Ford County. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.